The words of God given to us today is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 28. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. This world began with God's creation. God created the light and the expanse, the land and the sea, the sun and the moon, and the stars, the creatures of the sea, and the birds of the air, the animals of the land, and finally, human beings, in that order. When God created all things in heaven and earth, he said, God saw that it was good. In particular, on the sixth day, when creation was completed, he said, God saw that it was very good. But there was one thing that God saw which was not good. It's from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God said that it was not good for the man, Adam, to live alone. Not good does not mean if something's bad or something's wrong. It means that something could be good or that there is something even better, but then it's not being chosen. This is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 to 20. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called, each living creature, that was his name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. God not only formed the man from the dust of the ground, but he also formed the beasts of the field and the birds of the air from the ground. So God brought all these different creatures to Adam, and then Adam gave names to all the animals. When a child is born to a family, the parents give the child a name. To give a name means that within the family, the parents are above the child in terms of family order. The fact that Adam named all the animals means that Adam stood above them in order, and that among all the animals, there was no helper suitable for him. Seeing that Adam was alone, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. This means that the one who leads us into marriage, the one who allowed us to meet the spouse we have now, or the spouse we will meet in the future, is God. So God made the woman from Adam's rib while he slept, and he brought her to Adam. When a husband and wife who love each other build a family together, What is the most important thing for them to maintain a healthy family, a faithful family, a happy and set apart family? Is it having more money than others? If that were the case, then the more wealth the family has, the more healthy and blessed it should be. But it's not hard to find families that have a lot, and yet the husband and wife treat each other without respect and live with their backs turned towards each other. In particular, it's not uncommon for the relationship between a husband and wife to be strained when they suddenly get to have a large amount of money or within a very short period of time. So that if a husband and wife are highly educated, will they be able to build a healthy and happy family? We know very well that this is not necessarily true. The length of one's education does not increase in proportion to the health and happiness of one's family. Things that seem superior in the eyes of the world cannot protect our family. The most important thing in building a healthy family, a faithful family, a set-apart family, and a fruitful family is acknowledging that the God's guidance was present in our marriage. A husband and wife marry because they love each other and because they trust one another. But if the foundation of marriage rests on self, which is limited, or on worldly things, it cannot produce a healthy family, a faithful family, or a fruitful family. This is, of course, not true just for or only for marriage, but for our workplaces and in our stations in life. When we accept that our present position and our present life are the results of God's guidance, we can enjoy God's grace where we happen to be and live as His channel. God not only created a family, but He also joined a spouse, each person, as a helper. A husband needs a helper called a wife, and a wife needs a helper called a husband. This means that men and women can become more complete when they have a helper. Every person has an empty space called loneliness. That place cannot be filled by a good job or by a large financial success. Study, sports, travel cannot fill that space either. Even hobbies done together with friends or other people cannot fill it. God's solution that fills that space with meaning is marriage and the forming of a family. Of course, simply getting married and becoming a couple does not automatically fill that space or solve loneliness. If there is no personal intimacy between husband and wife, that space only grows larger, and a person may feel a loneliness even more wretched than when living alone. Although God clearly said that He would create a helper, today many people are more interested in getting a desired partner as opposed to a helper. One of the major trends in South Korea last year was this concept of a hexagon person. A honeycomb is a representative hexagonal structure because the hexagon distributes force evenly and increases durability. A honeycomb can store honey that weighs 30 times more than the weight of the hive itself. Snow crystals are also hexagonal. Since the hexagon is a shape that is full, with no gaps, strong and beautiful, the term hexagon person refers to someone who lacks nothing in an area because of those expressions such as hexagon celebrity, hexagon boyfriend or girlfriend, hexagon striker in soccer become have become popular. In the past, with idol celebrities, whether girl groups or boy bands, each member of the group had a different role. For example, there were members responsible for vocals, for dance, and for rap. And there were even cases where someone was a singer, but was not very good at singing, yet served as a face of the group, responsible for the group's image. But now, the people who receive attention are all-arounders, who are not only talented in vocal and dance and got the looks, but who are also talented entertainers. In addition, since they perform overseas, they must be good at foreign languages, and they also have to dress well, even in everyday clothing, which is called the airport fashion. And on top of that, of course, if they come from a good family background, that's even better. This term, hexagon person, is a new term that refers to a perfect person whose appearance, personality, education, occupation, assets, and family background, all six of these fall within the top 10 to 15%. And a hexagon man or woman is often considered as a top candidate for the ideal spouse. Now, the top 15% means 15 out of 100 people, so it may not be extremely difficult to find a person who has one of these qualities around us. However, a person who possesses all six of these qualities at the same time, the intersection of them all, would probably be one among tens of thousands. Now, on top of that, Christians look for other Christians to find a potential spouse. But we see that the concept of a hexagon person, except when it comes to personality, which requires a person to have a rounded personality and not sharp, focuses mostly on outward qualities. When people live together in marriage, they come to realize that while outward things are important, inward things are much more important. What kind of inner person someone is matters much more in building a healthy family, a faithful family, and a happy and set apart family than who the outer person happens to be. There are quite a few families that appear far better off than others outwardly, but which is filled with discord because of the members' inner persons failed to grow or matured. Also, if someone looks for this kind of hexagon person as a spouse, that means they're looking for a desirable partner, not the helper that God speaks about. If the husband and wife only demand that the other become the desired partner, that family will be filled with endless conflict and quarrels. On the other hand, if each spouse takes on the role of being a helper and becomes a true helper to the other, that family will shortly in time become a small kingdom of God. Because Adam had no helper suitable for him, God took one of his ribs, created Eve, and joined her to Adam. And perhaps some of our women members here today might say something like this. Now, when God created all things in heaven and on earth, he created plants on the third day, birds and fish on the fifth day, and animals and humans on the sixth day. Since the things created later seems to be more advanced, doesn't that mean that the later creations are superior? So if animals came before men and men before women, then women must be the newest creation. And doesn't that mean women are superior? Also, if Adam was made from dust like a clay jar, while Eve was made from the bones like a fine porcelain bone china, doesn't that mean women are superior? Of course, this is not true. This is simply a joke people say. God has never said that what he made later is superior to what he made first. And the Bible never says that men are superior to women. The meaning of helper certainly does not mean, say, that the husband is the professor, the wife is the assistant, or that the husband is a skilled worker and the wife is just an apprentice learning under him. Now, the word help in Hebrew is ezer. The word is used in the Bible mostly when God helps us human beings. This is from Psalms 121, 1-2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, the same verb ezer is used here. When God helps people, it is not because God is weaker than people. It is the opposite. When a wife becomes a helper to her husband, it does not mean that she's weak or lacking. It means that the husband can become complete only when he receives the help of his wife. When a wife truly becomes one who helps her husband in the family, that husband can be restored to the image in which he was originally created. And when the husband also becomes one who helps his wife, they can cultivate the kind of set apart and a healthy family that God desires. In today's passage, just as husband and wife become helpers to each other, he speaks of serving one another in this way. This is from verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As I mentioned last week, the words submit to one another are like the conclusion of the teaching that begins in verse 15. Wise people know that the days are evil, so they make the most of their time. As they live this limited life, they seek to draw out things that have eternal value. They also try not to let their lives be colored by worldly values, but instead try to discern rightly what the will of the Lord is. And wise people do not get drunk with alcohol, which causes a life to be wasted, but live lives filled with the Holy Spirit. Especially, rather than seeking a special filling of the Holy Spirit for some particular ministry, they seek to remain in the everyday filling of the Holy Spirit, and so the fruit of the Spirit is produced in their lives. And also people who are filled with the Holy Spirit in their daily lives speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and they live with thanksgiving to God the Father in every situation and at all times. And people who are filled with the Holy Spirit in daily life live by submitting to one another. This is because serving, submitting to one another, is evidence of reverence for Christ. The words submit to one another out of reverence of Christ are also the great premise for the teaching about Christian family life and social life that continues from Ephesians 5:22 to 6:9. And the proper attitude towards God, His word, is always to apply it mutually. God said for wives to submit to their husbands, and He told husbands to love their wives. Of course, it is also right for husbands to submit to their wives, and it is right for wives to love their husbands. In the book of Hosea, God says, I will betroth you to me forever. And again he says, I will betroth you to me, and you shall know the Lord. God is our bridegroom, and we are his bride. Also, children are taught to obey and honor their parents, and this means that parents must live lives worthy of the obedience and honor of their children. Parents are told not to provoke their children to anger, but to raise them in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. In the same way, children should not live in a way that causes their parents to become angry, and when their parents try to raise them according to the Lord's word, they should obey that teaching. Servants are told to work with sincerity of heart, and to obey their masters as if serving the Lord. And masters are told not to threaten their servants, but to live with the awareness that God is above them. In this way, faithfully carrying out one's duties and responsibilities in faith is living in obedience to the words, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the verse 22 testifies as follows. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, this certainly does not mean that a wife's submission to her husband is exactly the same as a Christian submission to the Lord. Our submission to Jesus Christ as Christians is absolute. Because the relationship between Jesus and us is a relationship between Creator and creation, Savior and sinner. So when we live with Jesus as our Lord, it means that we are His servants. But the relationship between husband and wife is not a master-servant relationship. The meaning of this verse is, wives, submit to your husbands because this is a part of your duty to the Lord, and doing so is an expression of your submission to the Lord. In other words, when a wife submits to her husband, the husband is not the goal, Christ is the goal. It means that when a wife submits to her husband, what becomes evident, what becomes revealed in that act to others is that that person submits to the Lord without a doubt. That is why the Greek Bible does not actually contain the word submit in verse 22. The New Korean Revised Version translates it this way, you who are wives, do to your husbands as you do to the Lord. Another phrase that we should take notice in verse 22 is your own husbands. This verse is not speaking about social order, but about the order within each household. Verse 23 explains why a wife should submit to her own husband. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which He is the Savior. Being the head does not mean ruling over others. It means responsibility. People often compare a very strict husband or father as a tiger. And when speaking of a wife and children, people sometimes say, oh, fox-like wife, rabbit-like children. A tiger is, of course, stronger than a fox or a rabbit, but that does not mean that a tiger is superior to them. In the past, the mountains of our country had tigers, foxes, and rabbits, but now it is said that tigers have become wiped out. But foxes and rabbits are still here. If you compare teeth and the teeth are much stronger than the tongue. If you accidentally bite your tongue while chewing food, it hurts. It hurts very much. Yet as the people grow older, almost everyone experiences losing their teeth. But I've never heard of anyone losing their tongue because of old age. Even so, going back to the tiger, fox, and the rabbit, which one of them should represent the forest if a tiger, fox, and rabbit were all living together in the same mountain? And I think, including me, I think everyone would think that it should be the tiger. Now, soccer is played with 11 players on a team, including a goalkeeper, and each soccer team has a captain. Now, if the players on the team were to say that they don't want to choose a captain, they should not choose a captain, and that everyone should be the captain, or if they get rid of having a captain altogether and try to play the game, it would be difficult to win the match, even if individual players were excellent players. Then, is the captain the player with the best soccer skills in the team, or the player who scores the most goals, or the one who receives the highest salary? None of these. It's the player who can lead the team the best without problems is chosen as the captain. Our country's soccer player, Son Heung-min, left the English Premier League club, Tottenham Hotspur, where he played for 10 years, and now he now plays for the Los Angeles FC in Major League Soccer in the United States. Son Heung-min is not only the most skilled player on the team, but also receives the highest salary. And also, one of the best soccer teams in the world is Real Madrid, CF, of Spain's First Division League. The best player on the team is the French player, Kylian Mbappe. And of course, he also received the highest salary on that team. But neither Son Heung-min nor Mbappe is the captain of their respective teams. Therefore, to say that Christ is our head and we are his body, it's not speaking about some hierarchical relationship of command and obedience, but rather, it is emphasizing the organic nature of the relationship. A body cannot live without a head, and a head cannot exist without a body. In each family as well, when we say that the husband and the wife are the head and the body, it is also emphasizing that they're organically connected to each other. Our body moves according to what the head commands. That's natural. When the body moves without the head's command, we don't call it activity or an action, but a convulsion. The more separate and controlled the movements are, the more serious the condition is. There are not a few families today that live in such convulsions. Children who grew up watching parents who constantly cause such convulsions in the home sustain deep wounds in their hearts. This is from 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. The Father, the Holy Father, the Holy Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equally God. All are all eternal. The triune God is one in essence. However, their roles are different. In theological terms, this is called the economic trinity. God the Father is responsible for creation, God the Son for redemption, and God the Holy Spirit for sanctification. So when we say that God the Father is the head of God the Son, it means that for the purpose of salvation, the Son willingly submitted himself to the Father, and the Holy Spirit submitted himself both to the Holy Son and to the Holy Father. That is why Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8 says, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. In the same way that God the Son submitted to the God the Father, in each family, the role of God as entrusted to the wife is submission. The role entrusted to the husband, which we will discuss next week, is to love his wife as he loves himself. I've not yet seen it, but I heard that the historical film, The Man Who Lives with the King, which tells the story of King Danzong, the sixth king of the Joseon Dynasty, and is now showing in theaters, has surpassed 10 million viewers. In the film, there is the king, there are people who once held the greatest powers, and there are officials who try to restore the deposed king. But the main character in the film is the head of a small mountain village. Probably, the actor who played the role of this village leader received the highest payment. Yet, in the story, he is not the king, central government official, but a head of a small mountain village. The actors who play the king or government officials likely received much smaller pay than him. But what is required of each actor is to faithfully carry out the role they or he or she has been given. In the same way, we also have roles in our families, in our workplaces, in the places where we live our lives. What is required of us is also to carry out the role that has been entrusted to us as well. Now, while preparing this sermon, an old popular song called Wish List suddenly came to my mind. The lyric goes like this. A woman who looks good in blue jeans. A woman whose stomach doesn't poke out even when she eats a lot. A woman who laughs even when my story is not that funny. That's the kind of woman for me. A woman whose hair shines even without hair mousse. A woman who meets my quiet gaze with her eyes. A woman who makes kimchi fried rice well. A woman who laughs a full laughter. A woman who I can meet even when I have no money with ease of heart. That's the kind of woman for me. But the song ends with the woman singing like this at the end. Excuse me, a moment, please. Your wish list is sure grand. A man who really suits that kind of woman, that's the kind of man for me. What kind of person we become is far more important than what kind of person we desire. Today is the third Sunday of Lent when we meditate on the suffering of our Lord and remember his resurrection. Human sin began when the first people, Adam and Eve, failed to become helpers to each other. And instead of submitting to God's word, which they should have obeyed, submitted to the words of the serpent, the devil, which they should not have obeyed. Therefore, if we truly believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth to give us eternal life, we must submit to the words of the Lord. On this third Sunday of Lent, let us turn away from being absorbed in our own desires and worldly values and from refusing to obey the Lord's word that says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. When we submit out of reverence for Christ, it is to take off our sandals before the Lord. When we fully submit to the Lord's words, we will not only taste the joy of the resurrection, but we will also experience the grace of becoming the Lord's channel in the places where we live out our lives. Let us pray. Father God, at the climax of creation, you made Adam and Eve helpers to one another and established a family. Just as you formed the family of Adam and Eve, please allow us to accept by faith that the present form of our families and our own stations in life are the result of your guidance. Even though the things that happen in our lives sometimes seem like coincidences or appear to be the result of our own decisions, help us remember in our hearts that you were above it all, and you have hands in all these things that work to guide us. Thank you for giving us this third Sunday of Lent. Adam and Eve failed to become helpers to one another as you intended. Instead of submitting to your words, they submitted to the words of the serpent and were forced to leave the Garden of Eden. Please help us to obey the Lord's word that says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. in each family, keep husbands and wives from demanding that the other become the partners that they a desired partner. Help them become helpers to one another, so that we may witness our lives, our faith, and our character growing and maturing more and more. Also, in the places where we live our lives, help us not merely to think about our desired partner or wish list, but to think deeply about what kind of person we ourselves should become for others. When we stand before you one day, help us not to forget that we will not be evaluated by the things we grasped or enjoyed in this world, but by whether we obeyed your word. In this way, may the resurrection of the Lord become our resurrection. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.